Good morning and welcome to the Monday, October 9th edition of Byers & Company. This hour, Laura Ingraham will join us, talk about her new book, Billionaire at the Barricades, The Populist Revolution from Reagan to Trump. Plus, we'll check in with Mark Topper and Topper on Sports. It all starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Monday, I'm really confused about something. Is there a Vietnam memorial at the Decatur Civic Center that I don't know about?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, this press release and then the front page story on the Herald and Review for today refers repeatedly to the Vietnam memorial and this prayer gathering at the Civic Center. Now, I help fund and get built the World War II Memorial that is there, but are you familiar with is there a Vietnam Memorial there in
is
front
there
of the Civic
inside?
Center?
Is there one inside?
Not that I know of.
Locals form a circle and hold hands during benediction to close the prayer service. Several churches from the community joined together near the Vietnam Memorial Sunday in Decatur. And the picture is clearly from the front lawn, or at least clearly from my point of view, of the Decatur Civic Center. Did they move something over there?
Don't know.
Okay.
I literally do not know.
I noticed the press release said, I saw about this story, it said the Vietnam Memorial. Maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah, maybe I am as well. I might have to walk over there and see what I can find out.
Maybe they have moved something.
Yeah.
I know there's the POW courthouse.
Right.
But I'm not familiar with a Vietnam memorial near the Civic Center.
Yeah.
I mean, the only memorial that I know that is there is the World War II Memorial.
Wow.
I don't know. We'll figure it out, I guess.
I'm going to have to wander over there now that I...
By the way, Laura Ingraham's new show starts October 30th.
Okay.
She'll join the Fox News lineup, and we'll talk about her radio show, too. By the way, was it Talker Magazine said they think they rank her fifth?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
I do believe so.
Okay. Well, let's get to it. Let's talk to Laura Ingraham, who you can hear every day at 9 a.m. right here on News Talk 1340 WSOY and 103.3 FM, of course, streaming live on nowdecatur.com. Laura Ingraham joins us. You've got a brand new book that is on its way out. When is it actually released?
Tomorrow, Billionaire at the Barricades, The Populist Revolution from Reagan to Trump. It's really fun. It's a wild ride. And I was hearing you talk about Talker's Magazine, number five. Brian, you're number one. Forget the number five.
Okay.
I don't even want to hear about five.
Come on.
Five this, five that.
You are literally building your own media empire on October 30th, I believe. Is that still the start date for the new Fox show?
The Ingraham Angle. Do you have any ideas? I'm kind of stumped on what to talk about. There's nothing really happening in the news.
Nothing in the news at all on this Columbus Day.
I'm going to have you on for my first show.
All right. Hey, let me ask you this. What made you decide to write the book? Because I think there are a lot of similarities between Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump. Not in style, certainly. Not in attitude or even demeanor. But they both tapped into something in this country that the left continues to not understand. I mean, I truly believe if the election were tomorrow, he'd be reelected, and everyone would go through the same shock, that it happened again, because they just don't understand the pulse of the American people. What are you writing about? What will I read tomorrow when I get the book?
So he was the ultimate outsider, Reagan, in politics. Think about it. He was a head of the Screen Actors Guild. He aligned himself in 1964 with Barry Goldwater. The big speech that he gave about Goldwater, which launched the Reagan career in politics. But people looked at Reagan, and people now think, "Oh, well, Ronald Reagan, he was great." Hello, I work for Reagan. I remember what the media did to him on a daily basis. They called him Ronnie Reagan. They said he watched soap operas in the middle of the day. He wasn't a serious man. He wasn't smart. He couldn't speak without cue cards. It was a daily pummeling. But we didn't have cable news. You know, we had CNN, but you didn't have talk radio or cable news. You didn't have MSNBC and the entire left-wing internet force and Hollywood force out there, you know, smashing Reagan every day. But you certainly had the elites and all of the main industries in the United States aligned against him, and he was a true outsider. He stood for the working class spirit, for civic pride and patriotism, and he wasn't afraid in 1976 when he almost won the nomination, and then 1980 to call out the failed Republican policies of detente, of enabling our worst impulses when it came to, you know, deep-sixing the middle class. And so all these years later, Donald Trump comes along, who's his own political animal, but in the same way as they treated Ronald Reagan, they treat Donald Trump. He can never do anything right. They're on him 24/7, morning, noon, and night. I mean, the man could come up with a cure for lung cancer, and the media would say, "Well, yeah, but he could have announced that 3 days ago." Like, well, why did it take him so long?
That's exactly right. That's exactly
so
right.
That's how I compare the two. I mean, Reagan obviously had policies that parallel Trump on trade. He saved Harley Davidson from cheap Japanese imports. He put temporary tariffs on cold rolled steel coming into the United States, and was battling the establishment in the Republican Party and in Hollywood at the time in the same way before he got elected. That's where we were.
I can't wait to read it. It comes out tomorrow. Billionaire at the Barricades, available bookstores everywhere or online. I remember Sam Donaldson just yelling at him, on ABC. And then we have these sort of rules, unwritten rules in the media, in the national media at least, the establishment media, where, you know, if it's President Obama, you have to respect the presidency, you have to respect the office, and you have to treat it accordingly. If it's President Trump or President Reagan, all of those rules are thrown out the window.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, Barack Obama had like a never-ending Hollywood party at his, you know, when he was president of the United States. It was all these entertainment elites were in and out of the White House. Same thing with Bill Clinton. He went off to do a fundraiser after Benghazi. He flew off to, you know, I think it was Las Vegas after the Benghazi attack, and gave a brief, you know, very, very short mention of Benghazi at the White House before he left. And imagine if Donald Trump does anything like that. They're on Trump for much less than Benghazi. So I completely agree with you. The core of populism is returning power to the people. It's the understanding that disempowering these big behemoth government institutions will end up giving more freedom to more people. Reagan understood that, and the way he dealt with the UN, the way he dealt with these international bureaucracies in Washington, and so does Trump. The World Trade Organization isn't looking out for the average working person in the United States, but Donald Trump is. And is he perfect? No, he isn't. He absolutely is not. Has he made mistakes along the way? You bet he has. But this man loves America. And he knows that this is probably one of the last chances we have to return real power to the country.
Don't you think the hypocrisy in Hollywood has been put on full display over this weekend with Harvey Weinstein? I mean, you know, the Obamas, the Clintons, Obama's daughter interned for him, fawned over this guy. And it turns out this morning that reports are the New York Times had this story in 2004, but gutted it under pressure. The idea that it's just silence out there in the Twitter universe about this, when everybody lost their minds about Trump's comments in the back of a bus with some mini celebrity. I mean, do they not understand how hypocritical they all look at this point?
Well, again, if you have the right views, if you believe in abortion on demand and reordering the gender order in our society, if you vote Democrat, then you can pretty much get away with anything. I mean, they looked the other way when the president was being serviced in the Oval Office by an intern. They were fine with Hillary Clinton standing by her man through humiliation after humiliation after humiliation. And now Harvey Weinstein, who's been doing this for decades, physically doing it, not just trash talk about women, but physically assaulting them or putting them under hideous pressure to be sexually involved with him. And the late night comics, you know, the new conscience of morality, Jimmy Kimmel, nothing. Saturday Night Live, they didn't even talk about it. Because money and left-wing politics trumps their so-called pro-female principles. We've seen this going back to Bill Clinton, and now we see it again. And I heard about this Weinstein character back in 1999 from friends of mine who worked in the modeling industry. And they were telling me horrific stories about Harvey Weinstein. And so this has been the worst kept secret in Hollywood. But again, people still aren't talking about it. Where's Hillary Clinton on this? Where's Barack Obama? And you know, if my daughter had worked for somebody who had done this to women, you couldn't hold me back from talking about it. And yet the Obamas, I don't think they've spoken about it. If they have, I've missed it.
Yeah, no, they've been, it's like crickets out there in the Hollywood world. All right, last question, and we'll let you go. I know you got a busy day here today. You got a show to do and a book to promote. The book comes out tomorrow. It's called Billionaire at the Barricades. It's going to be I'm really excited to read it because I see so many similarities between the way the press treated Reagan and the way the press is treating President Trump. Today is Columbus Day. And while I realize that our history is not perfect, and I think if you go back far enough, people were doing things that were terrible. I mean, we get all of that. Yet today in New York City, real people will be harmed by criminals while cops are protecting statues. Have we not? What is all of the Antifa? What do they want to happen? And what is a statue going to do one way or another to lift anyone out of poverty or to turn anyone's life around? And why are we giving the left we're letting them run rampant through the streets and we don't care
this is in part why Trump was elected. The political correctness that has infiltrated every aspect of our lives, from the workplace to entertainment to discussing history in proper context, is sickening. And the goal, you ask what the goal is? The goal is to tear down the foundations of the American founding. We are founded on the understanding that this government belongs to the people, that it's our God-given right to pursue life and liberty and happiness. And along the way, we had brave and courageous men and women who stood up for the average person, the everyman. And Christopher Columbus was a brave and incredibly talented explorer whose roots go back to the Italian community in the United States. Americans here today owe so much to what he did to discover, of course, the Caribbean and all of what he did for the historical understanding of discovery all those centuries ago. And the left thinks that tearing down a statue is going to do what? Is it going to bring more freedom to the country? No, they want you to believe that the very founding of America and what came before it was just an all-out assault on indigenous people and humanity. And if we're going to be holding people up to a microscope on what they did 400, 500 years ago, then I guess we're going to have to really upend all of history, because the indigenous people were not exactly saints either. They were brutalizing each other. They were cannibalizing each other physically, not just emotionally. And so is that what they want? No. They don't care about it. You think they care about a statue? They care about upending America.
Well, that's exactly right. This revolutionary abolitionist movement, RAM, which is the New York group calling for folks to deface these statues, they stand for literally violent redistribution of property and the abolition of gender, whatever the hell that means.
Oh, they are the Nazis of today. They are the true socialists taking it to the next level. They want to remove the American understanding from the consciousness of young people, and they want the new generation of Americans to believe that the country itself is built on a lie and thus the Constitution, our Second Amendment rights, frankly, our First Amendment rights, right to associate, right to speak out, have their limits. And so they want to empower a larger government presence in America to completely upend the American system. So that's what they really want. They want to go. It's about guns and faith and our Bill of Rights that they believe was fraudulently conceived and fraudulently founded. And so if they think tearing down a statue of Robert E. Lee is going to help get them there, then they'll do that. But these people are it's a combination of socialist, anarchist, and just they're a bunch of joiners. A lot of these people don't even know what they're protesting. They're just kind of out there having a good time. But this is not some group of modern day freedom riders. These are people who want to have a violent revolution against the American founding, and good people have to stand up against this. And again, it's another reason why Trump won. People are tired of this. They're really tired of it.
Laura Ingraham, the new book, it comes out tomorrow, Billionaires at the Barricade, The Populist Revolution, and the new Fox show starts October 30th. We thank you very much for being with us today.
All right, lots of love. Have a great day.
All right, Laura Ingraham, you can hear her every day, 9 a.m., right after this show.